This is Karen Lyle welcoming Nick Douglas as a contributor to Salesport Talk with an interview of SailGP Spain team driver Jordi Zamora.
Great day out on the office. Oh my gosh, so exciting to see you steering.
Yeah. We have been, I don't know, it's been amazing. It's been amazing with the guys. I just focused on listening to the guys, on trust the guys, and yeah, imagine how good they are, no? Because this kind of, after yesterday, we knew that we could do it, something like this, and in the back of our minds, no one was saying it, but we all knew that we could do something good, and I think we put, we changed exactly what we wanted to change from yesterday practice races into racing. And we saw two podium finishes in our debut. It's just amazing. No, I'm extremely thankful to the team for all their support to putting me into the driving, because to be honest, I didn't wanted to jump here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just trust the team as the same as I do in the boat. And it has been really good.
You don't even have to go on the water tomorrow because you're already a hero after your bronze medal, and now this today. Spanish people will be jumping around.
Well, yeah. To be honest, it's all on Flo, Diego, Juan with the tactics. Have done Matthew, Joel. They have been doing an amazing job. To be honest, I'm just focusing on listening on them, and yeah. Imagine to be honest how good they are. To put two podium finishes with a new driver, no? It means how good they are, and I'm super happy for them.
So is this the rise of the fourth king?
Yeah.
Are you the rise of the fourth king?
No.
He's too humble for that.
No.
But you're amazing. So today you're out there. It's your first time actually racing and helming the F50. But you've watched it a lot. I know that last season you were training for the Olympics, and I know you were watching. But you've learned so quickly as well, I think. We have to give some credit to you.
Since the games, it hasn't been one single day that I haven't been working for SailGP and for this. And to finish... in this way, the debut with two podium finishes is just amazing. But I think it's all on the team, and we're extremely happy. You dream from all your life, no, racing these guys, and finally you go and race these guys, and to put two podium finishes in the first day you race these guys with this boat. Not so long time ago, we were watching these guys racing here in San Francisco for the TV, and now to come here, it's us racing here. It's amazing.
Well done to you. Good luck tomorrow.
Yes.
I was with these guys today.
Nestor, godfather.
Yeah. Can they say hi?
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, Sports Byline USA, San Francisco, around the world on AFN, and Tuesdays at 9:40. Co-hosting this segment with me is Karen Lyle on behalf of SailSportTalk.com, and we have some pre-recorded interviews we're going to get to here in a little bit from Karen. Karen, very busy weekend for you at SailGP, huh?
Well, it was really exciting. I mean, this was a great race. The Mubadala SailGP race, everybody did such a great job in putting this on. And there were fans. It was so good to see people out. I mean, not only was the stadium full and the yacht clubs, but there were just, I don't know, more than 1,000 people lined up on the rocks and the shore just to watch the race. And the weather was great. I mean, it was good to have this.
So for you, how thrilling is this on 1 to 10 for you?
Oh, I think it's up there on a 10, but probably, I think the thing that really excites me about a race like this is that it brings together all of these amazingly talented people from around the world. And I don't mean just the athletes who are on the water, but all the team behind the scenes. And everybody works so hard to, make this into an exciting race. I mean, and they make it possible for me to interview it. And I saw Tom Cleesby and interviewed him and Ben Ainsley and Jimmy Spittle and Nathan Outerige and all of the drivers of the nation teams. And, they made it possible for that to happen in a very organized and efficient manner and, created a great experience. But, you know what the showstopper was? Do you know about that? Did you, or you want me to tell?
Did they do it in, where was it? Was it in San Francisco?
Well, it's on, so I didn't set the scene for our international audience. It is on the San Francisco Bay right in front of the Golden Gate Bridge,
okay,
right between the Golden Gate Yacht Club and the St. Francis Yacht Club. And so you've got these nation boats out there. They're racing on these F-50s. They're going over 50 knots. I mean, it's, you know, it's the tension is there. Everybody's, you know, excited about what's happening. You've got it down to the final grand finale in the championship race, and it's USA taking the lead. And then after that, you've got Australia and Japan catching up. And then all of a sudden, this whale comes into the scene.
Whoa.
And they had to stop the match race at the end because there's a policy that this powered by nature CLGP race doesn't run over whales, which I appreciate. But it was so anticlimactic that a lot of us just laughed. I mean, it was like powered by nature. Nature's showing you what's in charge. Anyway, they did finish the race. They regrouped after the whale moved out. And then there were light winds to deal with, so it wasn't the same. But, you know, of course, Tom Slingsby won this. But USA, they might have won it if we hadn't had that whale. But, you know, what's more important, not hitting the whale or winning the race? I think not hitting the whale is better.
All right. Well, Karen interviewed someone from Japan team, Denmark team, Global Wasp coach, SailGP. And, Karen, let's get to that now. What do you think?
I think that's great. Nathan Outeridge of Japan team is my first interview here.
All right. We've got some interviews from Karen Lyle at SailGP. And here we go.
Nathan, this is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk. You're representing Japan, and that's the goal, is that you will not represent Japan when they can take the lead and have all Japanese sailors on there. So what's happening with that effort?
Yeah, so the goal has always been to grow Japanese sailors into the team. And so for next season, we'll be racing with 3 Japanese sailors on board at all times, and then it'll continue to 4 in season 4. So it's a real balance. You know, we want to win because we're competitors, but we need to do some talent ID and we need to introduce them to SailGP. So, you know, we're here and we've got 2 female sailors with us from Olympic classes, giving them as much time and experience as we can on the boat. We've got Tim and Leo and Yuki who are with us all through season 1, and we did racing today with all 3 of the Japanese sailors on board. So that's trending really well for season 3. The next step is to bring in more Japanese sailors, which we've been doing throughout the season to give them experience in the team. But we'll need our reserve sailors next year to be Japanese. So Fuku, who's based in Japan, he's there all the time. He's the CEO of the team. He's running foiling camps with the youth sailors, the female sailors, and basically presenting me and saying, hey, Nathan, I think this person would be a good addition to the team in the future. Right now, we're looking for 90, 95 kilo grinders to come in and join us next year. But after that, we'll be looking for a wing trimmer or a flight controller to come in as we bring Leo further back in the boat.
Diplomacy.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I love the sport and love helping people, you know, get their opportunity to be at the front of the fleet.
This is Karen Lyle of Sailsport Talk. Yep. We're speaking to our 82 million fans in 168 countries, and I am here with the driver for the Denmark team, Nikolaj Sehester.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
And so, great day out there on the course today. What was the most challenging jibe that you did?
The most challenging jibe was the third race and the first downwind after the first turning mark. We just didn't pull it off, unfortunately, and that cost us a lot. So, but yeah, as you said, there's a lot of challenging jibes out there. It's not easy with the waves and the sea state and the breeze, and each maneuver is actually hard. And these teams make it look easy, but it's a lot harder than it looks from on board.
And when you're going through that jibe and trying to keep up on the foils, what are the strategies that you have to use to keep foiling throughout the jibe?
You need to try to see if you can keep the same speed on both foils and the same lift, so you have a very level boat, level platform, which means if you're turning very hard, you're going to make it hard for one foil and easy for another foil. So you need to try to judge the speed of or the turn rate of the whole boat, and then you need to add the right amount of lift on both foils to keep the boat flying. But if you add too much lift, you're going to ask too much for the boards, so they can't deliver and they're going to end up stalling like an airplane wing. So it's about asking as much lift as you can without stalling the water flow on the foils.
And also the communication between you and the person who's trimming the wing, how do you do that in a jibe when the time is so short?
We don't really communicate much. We just know sort of what we both of us is doing. We don't have time to talk about what the next thing we're going to do is. If he knows if I'm turning left, then he's going to use the wing, and likewise if I turn up. So it's the main communication we do between us, myself and the wing, is just the course, the motoring, where we want to go on the course. Not so much sailing the boat, that's just like riding a bike for us.
And also you represent your country. What a country for sailing. What does this mean for Denmark to have you represent Denmark in your team?
Representing Denmark and Rockwool is the key for our team. That's the whole goal and the whole, you know, motivating factor for us. We're not doing this just for go sailing. We're doing this because we want to achieve something for Rockwool and for Denmark. So it's a big part of our DNA, and the red and white colors is something that we wear proudly every day, and it motivates us a lot. And yeah, you see a lot of Danish people in our team, and that's not a coincidence. It's simply because it matters to us that is Denmark and Danish team. We have 80% of the race crew has to be Danish, so we have a big Danish team, and then we have a Swedish guy on board today, but he's got a Danish mother and a Swedish father, so we see him as Dane, so yeah, full Danish. I think that would count as well.
So what would you say for the Danish sailors out there who might aspire to the role that you have, is because you want eventually them to be on your team?
It's very important to us that we have the next generation, you know, growing up, watching us, what we do, and get inspired to go and do the same. We have a lot of activities in Denmark for the youth. You know, we have Rock the Boat academies, we have training camps, we have, you know, lectures for the youth. It's all about the youth, because we're not getting any younger on the boat. So we need the next generation ready to take over and do an even better job than we're doing. And that's the only one thing is sure, the next one's always going to be better than you. That's anything in the world. So that's what we got to get ready.
Well, good luck to you. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
This is Karen Lyle with Sailsport Talk, and I'm here with Martin Evans, who is the Global Class Manager for WASP with the SailGP Inspire program. And we're over here in the tents where all the WASP team, are hanging out, and there's this wonderful WASP sitting on its side in display. Can you tell us a little bit about this program and why you're involved?
So this program is trying to give young sailors a really realistic chance to get into professional foiling racing, and especially SailGP. Sailing's come on so quickly over the last 10 years or so. Foiling's now at the forefront with the America's Cup and SailGP, and there's loads of kids around the world who are looking at SailGP and thinking, how do I get there? And at WASP, we're trying to provide that opportunity, so now there is a realistic chance that you can start foiling at the age of 11, 12 years old in a WASP X. You can move through to a WASP, qualify for SailGP Inspire, and then the winner of this Inspire event here in San Francisco gets to join a team for an event and set on an F50. So for the first time ever, we now have this proper foiling pathway all the way from kids through to youth, and potentially for the lucky sailors and the best people out there, through to getting their dream and racing an F50 on SailGP, which is awesome. And I really wish that when I was a youth sailor that was around for me, because it is an incredible opportunity. WASP's a single-handed boat, they're all one design as well. So a WASP is essentially, if you're familiar with an international moth, it's a similar concept. The designer has just looked at a moth and said, what can we do to make it more accessible, what can we do to make it safer, and what can we do to make it cheaper and make it affordable? And the WASP was born, single-handed foiling boat, all one design, so it's just down to the sailor's skill. And they're, you know, the fleet's growing massively around the world at the moment. We've got 1,300 boats worldwide, and we can't build them quick enough. People want to buy them, people want to join the swarm and get racing, and SailGP Inspire is just part of that.
And so what is the goal for WASP itself as a manufacturer, as far as, you know, improving the technology of their boat?
Our goal as a manufacturer, the biggest thing is to keep it one design and be really strict on that. And where the moth has a great place in sailing, the international moth has a great place in sailing in terms of development, the WASP is really trying to take all of that foiling expertise and just bring it into an accessible package where people who want to foil and can just turn up and do it. They don't have to spend too much money, don't have to spend too much time fixing their boat. It's all about just getting out in the water as much as you can and having a great time. And that's the reason why the fleet is made up of people all the way from 11 years old up to 65 years old. We've got some sailors racing around and everybody in between. We've got some pro sailors, we've got some people who are literally starting out for the first couple of times foiling. So a massive spectrum, and it's just all about getting on the water, having fun in it in an easy and affordable way.
And so how are you finding it in San Francisco?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. It's my first time in San Francisco. I've heard a lot about it, and it's definitely delivering on what people have said. Just before this event at SailGP, we actually had a WASP Americas Championship. in the Bay Area over at Richmond Yacht Club, which was awesome, like sunny, good wind, just people were blown away really by how great the regatta was and a real success, and hopefully that carries the momentum forward in the US. And then coming over to St. Francis area and the Golden Gate Yacht Club and SailGP, in the iconic, you know, by the iconic Golden Gate Bridge, it's just been awesome. And for the sailors as well, a lot of these guys are from Europe. They would have never been here before. And, you know, it's a very, very famous place to come and race, and massive crowds, awesome opportunity.
This is Karen Lyle of SailSport Talk, and I'm here at the end of the SailGP race, and we are in San Francisco, and I'm speaking with a guest of the Golden Gate Yacht Club.
Tucker Presnell.
Tucker Presnell. And what was the most interesting moment for you on the race?
Probably the finish, when they came really close by us. Also, when they came around the second mark, from the downwind leg upwind, when they again came really close by us. That was also very interesting.
And are you a sailor?
Yes, I am.
So what do you sail?
My dad has a Cal 20, and we sail that around. I also do the sailing program at Treasure Island, and we sail RS Vivas.
Wonderful. Would you rather be watching the SailGP race, or would you rather be on the water with your boat?
On the water.
Spoken like a sailor.
All right, well, Karen was really getting after it there at the SailGP, and she says she has more interviews as well.